Krishna, this morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 4, Chapter 25. Text number entitled The Characteristics of King Puranga. Text number 39. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. He atrata kamau sha prajanando mriktam kyasaha loka Ishoka, Kiraja, Jan, Na, Kevalin, No, Vidu, Tamo Hyatrata Kamocha, Kacha Nando Mitam Yashan, Mukka Vishoka Viraja, Yamna kevalino vidu Namo yatra karmocha
Namo yatra karmocha
Rajanando mritam yasha
Rajanando mritam yasha
Lukha vishoka viraja
Lukha vishoka viraja
Yamna kevalino vidu Namo yatrata kamocha
Namo yatrata kamocha
Pajanando mitam yasa
Pajanando mitam yasa
Bukhari shoka viraja
Bukhari shoka viraja
Yamna kevalino vidu
Yamna kevalino
vidu
Dharma. religious rituals. He, certainly. Atra, here, in this Vihasa ashram, or householder life. Artha, economic development. Kamau, sense of gratification. Cha, and Praja Ananda, the pleasure of generations. Amritam, the results of sacrifice. Yashaha, reputation. Lokaha, planetary systems. Vishokaha, without lamentation. Virajaha, without disease. Yam, which? Na, never. Kevalinaha, the transcendentalists. Viduhu, no. Translation, the woman continued, in this material world, the householder's life brings all kinds of happiness in religion, economic development, sense gratification, and the begetting of children, sons, and grandsons. After that, one may desire liberation, as well as material reputation. The householder can appreciate the results of sacrifices, which enable him to gain promotion to the superior planetary systems. All this material happiness is practically unknown to the transcendentalists. They cannot even imagine such happiness. Please repeat. The woman continued. In this material world, a householder's life brings all kinds of happiness in religion, economic development, sense gratification, and the begetting of children. Sons and grandsons. After that, one may desire liberation, as well as material reputation. The householder can appreciate the results of sacrifices, which enable him to gain promotion to superior planetary systems. All this material happiness is practically unknown to the transcendentalists. They cannot even imagine such happiness. Purport by Sivanga C.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. According to Vedic instructions, there are two paths for human activities. One is called Pravritti Marga and the other is called Nivritti Marga. The basic principle for either of these paths is religious life. In animal life, there is only Pravritti Marga. Pravritti Marga means sense enjoyment, and Nivritti Marga means spiritual advancement. In the life of animals and demons, there is no conception of Nivritti Marga, nor is there any actual conception of Pravritti Marga. Pravritti Marga maintains that even though one has a propensity for sense gratification, he can gratify his senses according to the directions of the Vedic injunctions. For example, everyone has a propensity for sex life. But in demoniac civilization, sex is enjoyed without restriction. According to Vedic culture, sex is enjoyed under Vedic instructions. Thus the Vedas give direction to civilized human beings to enable them to satisfy their propensities for sense gratification. In the Nivritti Marga, however, on the path of transcendental realization, sex is completely forbidden. The social orders are divided into four parts, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. And only in the household of life can the Pravritti Marga be encouraged or accepted, according to Vedic instructions. In the orders of Brahmacharya, Vanaprastha, and sannyas, there are no facilities for sex. In this verse, the woman is advocating Pravritti Marga only and is discouraging the path of Nivritti Marga. She clearly says that the yatis, the transcendentalists, who are concerned only with spiritual life, Kaivalya, cannot imagine the happiness of Pravritti-marga. In other words, the man who follows the Vedic principles enjoys the materialistic way of life, not only by becoming happy in this life, but also in the next life by being promoted to heavenly planets. In this life, such a person gets all kinds of material opulences, such as sons and grandsons, because he is always engaged in various religious functions. The material distresses are birth, old age, disease, and death. But those who are interested in Pravritti Marga hold various religious functions at the time of birth, old age, disease, and death, without caring for the distresses of birth, old age, disease, and death. They are addicted to performing these special functions according to the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Factually, however, Pravritti Marga is based on sex life. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.4.5, Yan Maitunadi Krihamedi Sukham Hi Tucham. A householder who is too much addicted to Pravritti Marga is actually called a Krihamedi, not a Grihastha. Although the Grihastha desires sense gratification, he acts according to Vedic instructions. The Krihamedi, however, who is interested only in sense gratification, does not follow any Vedic instructions. The Grihamedi engages himself as an advocate of sex, and also allows his sons and daughters to engage in sex, and to be deprived of any glorious end in life. A Grihastha enjoys sex life in this life as well as in the next, but a Grihamedi does not know what the next life is about, because he is simply interested in sex in this life. On the whole, when one is too much inclined towards sex, he does not care for the transcendental spiritual life. In this age of Kali especially, no one is interested in spiritual advancement, even though it is sometimes found that one may be interested in spiritual advancement. He is most likely to accept a bogus method of spiritual life, being misguided by so many pretenders. And the purple. Om Agyanantananda Shagyana Slaka Chakshulam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namah Om Vishnu Vadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhukadeh Sinati Bhakti Vidanta Swamniti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Ne Vishesha Sandavani Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Translation again, the woman continued, in this material world, a householder's life brings all kinds of happiness in religious, religion, economic development, and sense gratification, and the begetting of children, sons, and grandsons. After that, one may desire liberation as well as material reputation. The householder can appreciate the results of sacrifices which enable him to gain promotion to higher planetary systems. All this material happiness is practically unknown to the transcendentalist. They cannot even imagine such happiness. So, Shabal mentions here that this lady is propagating the Pravritti Marga exclusively. She is representing the intelligence which is contaminated by lust. Rajogun, Tamagun. And Paranjan he's representing the conditioned soul who is going along with it. He thinks it's a good idea. Like this. But it's material world. Material world is actually created for sense gratification. Mainly. Of course, it affords an opportunity after a long time, when comes to the human form of life, and affords an opportunity to exit the material world. Very, very small opening to actually get out. Otherwise, it's meant for sense gratification or taking the position of the Lord, who is as we know, Krishna. He's a sense gratifier. Right? He does what he wants, when he wants, how he wants. Nobody can interfere. So we're accepting his bhava, but of course we're not God, so we make a mess of things. We always get into trouble because. Because we're not. We're trying to do something that we're not. We're actually controlled and we enjoy it. This is the reality. We're controlled by Krishna or his energies, Yoga Maya or Mahamaya. And we're enjoyed by Krishna. And those that are controlled by Krishna, by Yoga Maya, they enjoy being controlled by Yoga Maya. And also those that are controlled by Mahamaya, they also enjoy being controlled by Mahamaya. But the standard of the enjoyment is much greater and real and permanent when it's coming under Yoga Maya. Because then it's the actual, you're actually functioning properly, normally. Yeah? The soul is functioning normally. Soul is meant to give pleasure to Krishna. That's his function. So there's a nice rapport, because he's doing what he's supposed to do. It's a natural function. So therefore the soul is properly situated, perfectly content, completely sheltered and experiencing the highest bliss possible, sometimes. But when we try to live like that, or take experience like that with the material energy, then we're banging our head against the wall. It doesn't work. It's not supposed to be like that. So when we get enough knocks, or the enough of the nonsense is knocked out of our heads by experience, then we begin to question, hey, what's going on? God help me. So. The Pravritti Marg is actually very much extolled in the Vedic literature, because that's what people are interested in, sense enjoyment. So therefore the Vedas are the gateway or the bolt that can actually get the living entities out of the material world by following them. But if they say no sense gratification, no one will bother with the Vedas. So they say yes, sense gratification, it's okay, it's allowed, but restriction there. So then there's concession. Otherwise people wouldn't even bother with the scripture. Yes, there is sense gratification, but it like this, like this, like this, not when you want, how you want, anytime you want. There's a way to do it. You want to eat meat? Okay, you can eat meat, but you do it this way. You take, kill the animal, you whisper in its ear, Angra, I'm taking your life. I know that in your next life you will come back and take my life. Once a month, dark moon night, you do it yourself, horrible thing. So, what a mentality, Prabhupada says, what a mentality. You're saying to the animal, I'm taking your life now. In the future you will come back and take my life. Then you, just for some taste. And then offer to the goddess Kali. Then you don't go to hell for that. You don't, that's not considered a sinful activity. It's not really the best thing to do, but we're going to do it anyway. We want to do it anyway, so at least we'll be kept within the realm of human civilized people. We're following the Vedas. The Vedas are coming from the Lord. You want to drink wine, you offer to the goddess Chandi and drink wine. Happy. But of course these are not really recommended for the real purpose of getting out of the material world, because when we experience pleasure in the material world, then that causes an attachment. When there's pleasure there, when there's difficult times, the mind always goes there. There is pleasure, there is some relief, right? Some shelter, some safety. Then you become attached to those things, because there is a feeling of safety, there is a feeling of pleasure occasionally in the material world. It doesn't last long, but it is there. That experience is there. It's a real experience. So, and because of that, then we become attached to that idea that is there, so we can have it all the time, every time. This is our program. Right? So let's make a program so we can, you know, be perfectly satisfied, perfectly happy, all the time. This is a dream. This is what the movies and the books, you know, are right now, and you live happily ever after. But in reality, it's not like that. It's just a struggle. It's just one struggle after another to reach that safety, to reach that position, to reach that happiness. All right? So much struggle, that distance, so many obstacles there. And then we get it, then it's all nice, then hey, where did it go? And again, so this is my... So that's a problem with the material sense gratification. So therefore, it's offered because that's what we come for, that's what we want. So it's given in restriction. And because you're accepting an authority, it means I'm not the controller. I'm accepting authority. I'm accepting Chandi, I'm accepting Kali, I'm accepting Shiva or Uma, whoever it is we're going to, or Vishnu or Brahma, or whatever it is we're going to. We're accepting some authority. We're becoming subordinate. So this is a submission. It means we accept him. I'm actually not the supreme controller. So the false ego is diminished by accepting some. Because if we're actually God, then we can do whatever we like, whatever we want. So now we're admitting we're not God. So this is a big step. And the animals and things, they can't do that. There's no inclination there. So it's only the humans that have this choice. Well, the humans are a little bit above. On the other, in the 14 planetary systems, there's only three, four, Maha, Tapa, Jhana, where they practice Nivritti Mag and Brahma Loka, of course, is different. So then there's the earth. Where's an option? We have an option. We can do it here. But the other 10 planetary systems, it doesn't happen there. Either they're too much in ignorance, like the animals or lower species, or in the lower planets, there's a demoniac or just suffering. They don't have the adhikar in those lower planetary systems to actually practice Nivritti Mag. The inclination doesn't come up, it doesn't arise in them. Krishna says, from me come remembrance, forgetfulness, intelligence, it's coming from... They don't have the adhikar. We're so simple, we're put in these lower births. So therefore you have to wait, you have to wait and wait and wait until you get free from that birth, into the next one, into the next one, until you come back to the human form of life. It's a long, arduous process. Of course, it's not a process while you're in it. You're just concerned about your particular body, how many nice legs you have, and how many, you know, nice feathers you have, or how nicely you can swim in the water, and where's that nice food, where's a nice object of sense gratification. That's all you're concerned with, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, for the moving, living entities. Of course, in the hellish planets, those that are being suffering like anything, it's just mainly how can I get out of this, you know. But even that inclination doesn't rise, why I got into this place. They have to suffer. They don't have the adhikar. So, and then on the earth planet, where this actually, the choice actually begins. But how many people are actually interested? Human beings, civilized human beings, actually interested in Nivriti Marg, before it means performing Santapasya, some renunciation. The Nivrittis, or the transcendentalists, the Jnanis, the Yogis, and the Bhaktas. There's not a lot amongst all the human beings, even amongst the religious people, pious people, there's not a lot, right? Because most of these, the modern religions, and even the ancient, this is ancient religion, Karma Kanda. Ancient. So they're not much interested in this renunciation. No, you know, when you preach to people, especially Indians, they're a bit pious. What you're doing, we don't do that now. When we're old we do that, surrender to Krishna. Now you can worship the other gods and everything and, you know, enjoy the fruits. When you come old, then you become Vaishnava. Then you do that surrendering business when you finished all your other business, right? They speak like this. Because that's Vedic, right? It is. Praviti Marg, religious. We're very religious. So there hardly anyone is actually interested in that. It's only by the mercy of the devotees, or the mercy of, you know, unless you have the Adhikar to be born in such a culture and have that good association, that idea would actually arise to ask these questions. Just like today is the disappearance day of Srila Sanatana Goswami. I think it's very famous, much quoted verses where he approaches Lord Chaitanya and says, you know, because he was a minister, after all, and he was very learned, very wealthy. He said that, you know, people call me Pandit, learned, and I'm also thinking I'm quite learned, relatively speaking, he was. He said, but actually I don't know who I am, why I'm here, what is this, what is life for, I don't know these things. Kiyami, who am I? I don't even know who I am. Please, you instruct me. So he submitted himself to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, what does it take to come to this question? That who am I? What is the meaning of life? He thinks we have to become, unless we have the, you know, we're born with good adhika, good karma, then he probably become frustrated. Generally most people are frustrated with life because there's the four kinds of people that come, you know, they're suffering in life to different things, or, you know, financial things. Otherwise they're curious, otherwise they're jnanis, wise people, advanced people, but there's not so many of those. There's generally people distressed, some distress, because material energy is made to give us distress. Made to give us distress. And we're looking for happiness in something that is designed to give us distress. The body is a bag of misery, actually. He's glorifying. Pranjan is in illusion. We think it's okay. The body is okay. You have such beautiful eyes, such beautiful ears, such beautiful. Your ears are beautiful. Huh? Who said, how come ears are beautiful? If you cut an ear off and put it in the box, the ears aren't attractive at all. Noses, huh? What's a nose? How can I say nose is beautiful? But when you're on an illusion like that, and there's an expression, if you have all, you got, they have all the stool in the right places, then they look attractive. I'm a literate sloka. So that's what it is. It's not very attractive, but if it's the best, it's the best you have. So therefore, we think it's very attractive. The tiger, he sees the humans as very attractive also, in a different way. The other people that are fearful, they think they're not attractive. So it's all relative to the your breath, your karma, the particular body and the particular set of senses. You view the world like that. It's your world and that's it. And that's the whole picture you see, and anything outside of that is alien. You know what's right. It's in the heart. It feels right. It's good for me, right? Everyone thinking like this. Everyone thinks they're very intelligent. Mentions here. Everyone has their own intelligence, and that, with that limited intelligence, I know what's best for me. Right? We think I know what's best for me. So, if that inclination for understanding the truth doesn't arise, it means unless you heard it from somebody else, from somebody who's outside the illusion, Brahman Sabda, this transcendental knowledge, which can only be known from outside the. Because the whole Brahmanda is ignorance. And so it's only when the transcendence enters into the ignorance you can actually understand. Otherwise, it's not possible to understand. You have to hear. There's no other way, there's no experimental way, because we can't get even beyond the intelligence. Right? Intelligence is bewildered by lust. So, we've covered, first of all, the first covering is the false ego, very fine covering. The false ego dictates you can be master and you can be the enjoyer. This is the first dictate. Forgetfulness, Krishna takes away that remembrance when you're coming into the material world. Takes away that remembrance of him, that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, that's gone. Then covers you with his special coating of avidya. The spot is vacant. I can be the master, I can be the controller, because there's no one doing it, you see? He's gone, he's out of the picture, he's removed himself. So then we all, each one of us is after that position in the material world. And because of that, then the intelligence is bewildered. Then the intelligence, based on now, you're coming to life with this idea that this place is for my enjoyment. When there's, I just have to arrange some things to make it nice and peaceful, then I can enjoy it. That's the idea. So then the intelligence starts to make a program how to do this, how to steer your way through life, get these the right way without meeting any of the obstacles and the nasty things. Then you can be peaceful and enjoy nicely, right? This is intelligence. This is what intelligence is doing. So, and then you've got the mind and the other senses, further grows so many coverings you have. So this is the position of the tiny living entity in the material world. It's shocking, actually. this section is very shocking, startling. This is me, because this is Paranjan is us. Huh? The analogy here is Sri Narada Muni is speaking to King Prachinda Barisat. He's speaking to us. He's given the example of King Paranjan, the conditioned soul. That's us. We're not conditioned souls. How many of us here are liberated souls, transcendental to everything? He's talking to us. this lady, pious lady, religious lady, she's lusty. She's representing our intelligence. So that's what we're living with. We're living with this lusty intelligence. We're saying, come and enjoy. It's a nice place, you get a nice city to enjoy here. so many facilities. Come. That is what we want, right? We want a nice situation and we can enjoy it. This is what's being offered. The intelligence is saying yes. Soul wants it. The conditioned soul wants this because that's natural. In the spiritual world, it's there. Full happiness, full enjoyment, full protection. No kumta, no anxieties. This is what we're missing. This is what we're hankering for. Now the intelligence is promising. So it's epitomized in the in the forms of sex of a man and female, the two sexes when they come together, because this sex is rated so highly because it's a great pleasure and it's easily available, and everyone's doing it, right? Everyone does that. See, in every civilization, at the end of the day, what happens? The man and woman go together in their room and close the door. Every civilization, there's something there. So, but we're talking about this because this is the epitome of enjoyment. But overall, it means all the enjoyment, the culmination of all the enjoyment. That's why it's talking about this, and this Krishna himself says this is very attractive for us, this combination, man and woman, like magnet and iron. Get too close, no hope. You're drawn into it. So, here he's pointing out, Narada, we've been enlightened in this section of Bhagavatam. What is our own condition? We are bewildered. The soul is bewildered. Intelligence is bewildered. No proper direction. No direction to go. And then, when there is direction, so Prabhupada, even if someone is serious, he's more likely to be come under the sway of cheaters, pseudo-spiritualists, because there's not many actually transcendentalists. all these modern religions, they're either nihilistic or they're more or less pravritti marg. Eh? You worship God, you be good, and in the end you'll be peaceful in this life and you go to the heaven, you go to heaven, you enjoy after lifetime. More or less that's what they're saying. No one is actually talking about God, serving God per se. You know, perfection of life is to serve God, and you serve God as a means to attain the perfection, which is to go to heaven and enjoy forever. That's more or less their conception. And this is what the lady is saying. So more or less all these religious groups, etc., they were sentimental. It's all pranamaya and anamaya and pranamaya, mainly. It's hardly any gyanamaya, and practically zero vijnanamaya. Our vijnanamaya is high, even us. Where's the vijnanamaya? When we're practicing gyanamaya, because ISKCON, our society is the nivritti mind. Nivritti means, Nivritti means, Prabhupada says, spiritual life or disinclination. The Pravritti Marg, he says, means sense gratification or inclination. Because in the material world, when we're bewildered, what are the inclinations? You know, the senses are going out and we're saying, well, this is nice, this is not nice, right? This is nice, this is not nice. So that's the inclination. So if you have no direction, no focus, or no anchor, then you're bound to go with that. Because you're looking for nice things. So when the senses go out and touch something nice, let's make a program how to stay there. that's the inclination. Natural inclination of the conditioned soul. So So vritti means follow your inclination. And nivritti means disinclination. You're disinclined to follow that. So actually this nivritti actually means transcendental platform. Because we're practicing the nivritti marg, but we're not actually on the nivritti marg. I mean, we're not actually on the nivritti platform. Prabhupada said, Krishna, there's no such thing as practice of Krishna consciousness. You're either Krishna conscious or you're not. But we call it practice of Krishna consciousness. It means that when one has actually transcended the material platform and has actually feeling there for Krishna, that's Krishna consciousness. But before that, we have to push ourselves, right? We're doing with intelligence and guidance. So we're pushing. So even us, what we're doing, we've actually come across the truth by good fortune. We've come across the pure devotees, we come across the pure line, intact, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared only 500 years ago, so it's very, very vital and very much intact. And we have a very strong direct parampara there, like Sanatana Goswami. And but still we have so many problems, right? We're going through this period called Ananda Nivritti. Then when we come to Nishtha, then we're peaceful. When we're self-realized, we're actually experiencing that. Our souls, we're actually experiencing the spiritual dimension in a more, you know, solid and regular way. This is Nishtha over the Anatta Nivritti. So the Anatta means unwanted things. So Prabhupada says later in this section, Anatta means it's unwanted things. Anatta means mental desires for various types of sense enjoyment, sense gratification. Material desires for various types of sense enjoyment. That's anatta nivritti. It means these things are coming up which are attracting us. These material desires are coming up which are attracting us, right? So now we don't want them, but they just come. There's some happiness, there's some shelter. Because we're used to that, that's our conditional state of life. The mind is used to following, going like that, pravritti. The inclination is to go there. But now we have the proper direction. We have unbewildered intelligence. Means we have Krishna's intelligence. We have the intelligence from the scripture, from the sadhus, and we have intelligence from the guru and the devotees. That's our anchor, isn't it? It's not our own. We're not coming to these conclusions ourselves. We're simply borrowing this intelligence or hanging on to this intelligence. We're making this our drive. And that is called, and when you're practicing, when you're acting under the superior intelligence, that is called nivritti marg. The path of nivritti, the path of disinclination. We're disinclinated. But this inclination towards the sense gratification is only theoretical, it's only philosophical, it's only intellectual. I mean, we're doing it from the intellectual platform, but the heart is not there. Sometimes it may be. Krishna says you may give up the senses and their sense objects, you may give up that sense gratification, he said, but the desire still persists, the desire hasn't gone away. Because it's more subtle, that takes more time. So that's an unwanted thing. Attraction to Maya is still there, you see. So that is, but we're sticking to this nivritti marg. No, what is to accept what's favorable for Krishna consciousness, reject what's unfavorable. This is knowledge, spiritual knowledge. So we know what is spiritual, we know what spiritual knowledge is, we know what is unfavorable for Krishna, and we know what's favorable for Krishna. We have that much. But still, these things are a nuisance. These anathas, they keep coming and distracting us. Botheration. Anatha nivritti. So one should stick to the path. You shouldn't go with those inclinations. doesn't work. We've done it. We got this body. That's evidence that we didn't practice Nivritti in our last life. We weren't successful in our last life. We followed our inclinations and we ended up in another material body. Same old thing. So, by your own intelligence, you know, it's not possible. You simply have to accept. And by your endeavor, it's still not impossible. But because you're endeavoring sincerely, Krishna will bless you. Hug you. So that is the process. That is the, we have to endeavor sincerely, nicely, endeavor strenuously, Prabhupada said, to control these things. But you should know that we're actually dependent on Krishna's mercy. But if we don't endeavor, why should he show his mercy? Our sincere endeavor is proof of our sincerity. One proof. And Krishna, if it's actually, we're actually sincere, then he will bless. Okay, no more. You don't have to take breath again. You've understood what's going on. You've understood who you are. You're my eternal servant. You're still bothered by these things. That's obviously, the mind is still not very peaceful. That's already there. So how can you know me in full? How can you love me if you have all these things? You're still, attractions are still there. How can you know me? How can I reveal myself fully? Because you've got all these other things in the heart. Never mind, you've understood. Last breath. Just hang on. Don't worry, next breath I'll take you back. Because you've actually understood. But this is the mercy program. Let's talk about Sarathya Goswami for a few minutes. Because he is our guru. He's loved by Lord Chaitanya. He and Rupa Goswami, when they first met Lord Chaitanya and asked this question, who am I? We are worse than Jagai Madai. They made one offense, you know, that we've been so bad. Because they were rejected from the Brahmanical community because they took service from the Nawab Hussein Shah, the Muslim government. So then the Hindu system was very strict then, so they were ostracized. But some say they did that so that they could actually protect the Brahmins in the Muslim rule, because they were actually ministers, they were chief ministers. Very powerful, very influential, very good, very smart. And so the Nawab was very happy to have them there. So he was pleased. They were doing a great job, and he left them alone. And they were protecting the Vedic culture. So at their own sacrifice of their own. But of course, they were a little transcendental even in that state. By Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association, they got his association, then they become disinterested, disinclined with that job that they were doing, and they began to hear Bhagavatam. They had so many Brahmanas used to come. They lived at Ramkali. If you've ever been there, very beautiful place. Ramkali, on the way to Kananaksha Ekchakra, that's it. And the prison is still there, where Sanatan was, and some relics in their gardens. They had a nice, beautiful house, gardens, and they had 8 kuns for the 8 gopis. And, you know, they had all these Brahmins reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. That was their life. Then Rupa left after meeting Mahaprabhu. That was he took off. Sanatan wasn't doing his duties, and the king sent a physician, and the physician said, I can't find anything wrong with him. So one day he personally came, the Nawab came, and there was Sanatan with all the Brahmins discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. He said, what's going on? You're supposed to be sick. And he said, I need you. Because they had such a very close relationship, actually. Very close. Like brothers. And he said in a funny way, the Nawab, he said, your elder brother, he's going round and he's destroying the whole of Bengal. means his business was to go and conquer different states. And he said, and you're sitting here holding it. He said, but now you're ruining everything, you're spoiling everything here. What am I to do? So Sanatana said, whatever you do, you're the supreme authority. Whatever you do is, you do is good. So whatever you want to do, you have to do. You have to do it to me. I will accept. He said, but he said, you can't retire. I'm going to Orissa. The campaign in Orissa. So he said, that's what, I can't help you there. That's Lord Jagannath's land. I can't support you in that endeavor. You do what you like with me. So he became very angry. A very dear friend. He became very angry. He locked him up. Had him locked up. But Rupert sent a message. There's one store man nearby, and I left with him 5,000 gold coins. A lot of money. Use that to get free. So then he bribed the chief jailer. He said, you're a very pious man. I've helped you a lot. Man is a minister. I've looked after you. Now you do me a favor. He said, I have some money. I have these gold coins. This gold for you. You just let me go. And you're a religious man. I want to, and it's a religious sentiment. I'm giving up this government post as a religious sentiment. So you'll gain both ways. You're helping religiously, and you'll get material benefit by taking this gold. This way. But he said, I'm very scared of the Shah. He finds out, then I'll be finished. He said, no, I don't. He said, I'm going to disappear. I'm going to Mecca. He said, I'm just becoming a mendicant. You won't see or hear me again. So this way he convinced him. And he stacked all the gold coins up in front of him, and he couldn't resist. So then he let him go. Took off his, he said, you tell Nawab that I went to the river to take bath, and I just broke away and ran and jumped in the Ganga with my chains on. And of course he couldn't swim, then he drowned and he was swept away, he couldn't find his body. So that's what he told. So then he cut the chains and Sanatana left. Then he was going to Benares to see Lord Chaitanya. And he had a servant with him, and the servant took 8 gold coins. So they stayed at this inn hotel one day, and he asked for help that we can cross the hills, because he couldn't go on the main road, because in case the Nawab sent his soldiers to look for him. He said, if you can help us get across the hills at night time. And he said, yes, certainly we'll help you. Don't worry. We'll look after you nicely. Here's a nice room. Here's some bulgur. You cook for yourself and eat nicely. Don't worry. At night time, we'll definitely help you across. So later on in the evening, then he was thinking, because he was a minister, the expert at diplomacy, why is this person so nice to me? Not, is that unusual, you know? So then he asked his servant, have you got any valuables with you? He said, yeah, I got 7 gold coins. So he became very upset. He said, this is our death knell. You're carrying with it, death knell with you. So then he took the 7 gold coins and he went to the hotel keeper and he said, here, take this. He said, take me across. It's a religious activity. I'm giving you this money. And he was so pleased. He said, actually, I knew you had 8 gold coins because I have one of my workers here. He's an astrologer. He told me, he said, I was going to kill you tonight and take that money. He said, but now you've saved me of a great sinful activity. I'm very pleased. I'll take your cross. I don't even want your money. And you're such a good man. So he said, no, if you don't take the money, someone else is going to kill me for it. So you take it. So then they helped him across. Then he said to his servant, you said you got 7 gold coins. The astrologer said, there's 8. You got another one? He said, yeah, I still got another one. He said, take it and go back home. So So then he went. Then he went to Punaras. He met. He stopped at his brother-in-law's house. It could have been before. His brother-in-law wanted him to stay, and he said, "Look at you, so wretched. You know, your minister was crying. You know, you're a big man, and now look at you. You're dressed in rags and dirty, and stay here." He addressed you nicely and said, "No, I'm not even going to stay till the night time. I'm going." So anyway, when he came to Benares, he came out. He heard that Mahaprabhu was staying in, I think, the house of Chandrasekhar. So then he was waiting outside, and Mahaprabhu could understand. He was a superstar. So he told Kasinatha Chandrasekhar, "Go and bring this. There's one devotee outside. Go and bring him in." So he went outside and he looked all around, and he saw this Muslim mendicant sitting down. You know. So he looked around and he said, "No, there's no devotee outside." "Yes, there is a devotee there. My devotee there. Go and bring him in." So then he understood, it must be him. Then he brought him in, and Mahaprabhu embraced him. They were crying, and he was shocked. You know, what am Mahaprabhu doing, embracing this Muslim mendicant? And he said, "This is who he was. Now you're going to shave him up, make him nice." So he took his bath and he shaved him, and he got new cloth. He wouldn't wear the new cloth. He said, "No, you give me one of your worn cloths." So that he gave him a dhoti, he ripped that in half, put one on top, one on the bottom, made some kopins. And Mahaprabhu was very pleased, his renunciation. And so he said, "You come every day, this house is Brahman's house, you come and take your meals." He said, "Why should you take meals? We've given up all that life. I'll do some madhukari." And Mahaprabhu was very happy again to hear that. But he had a blanket, a very nice blanket, which his brother-in-law gave him. A very costly blanket. So Mahaprabhu, when he was talking to Satan, he would often look at this blanket, you know, he kind of see, you know, so he could understand that it's... So then he went to the Ganga, and there was one Bengali, they just washed his quilt. You know, they make these patches and or sew these things together. They washed it and left it to dry, then Satan exchanged his blanket. Then Mahaprabhu was very pleased again that he was doing this. He said, "This is proper." So it's actually, he said, "People laugh at you, actually. You're a mendicant, you're going around begging, and you've got this really costly blanket on." He said, "People joke at you." So you've actually done the right thing. So then Mahaprabhu instructed him for, I think, was it 2 months? Gave him all these wonderful instructions. And advised him to go to Vrindavan and write books on the science of bhakti and the pure devotional service. Which he did. He wrote the behavior of devotees, especially the Grihastha devotees, Vaishnavas. So he wrote the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which we use. And he's very famous for writing the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, which gives the whole array of different relationships from the bottom to the top that people have with Krishna. Very wonderful book. Here's a long, big history. He worshipped Madan Gopal Devi, who appeared to him. He used to hang him in a bag, in a basket, on a tree, because he was living under the tree. The deity, Madan Gopal, Madan Mohan spoke to him. That because he was so renounced, he just used to get some flour and water, make some balls, and put them in the fire. And then when he would eat those, so Madan said, these bread balls, we call Sanatana Goswami's, the bread balls, he said, "Can't you put a little salt in? At least..." I said, "I don't have any salt. I have to go and beg for salt for you now." He said, "No, I put a little salt in, then tomorrow you want ghee." He said, "Then where will it end?" He said, "Just be satisfied." So this was a exchange. So he's worshipped as the Vayojana of the Devaphore Sambandha. Madan is worshipped at Madan Gopal. Introduces that Sanatan Goswami is worshipped by Krishnadas Kaviraj, has introduced the whole world to Krishna, and someone introducing their relationship to Krishna. Of course, because it was the Lord's desire, he wanted that then a salt merchant came with his big barge of salt down the Jamuna. He got stuck on a sandbank and he thought everything would be lost, but Sanatan Goswami guided him to safety and preached to him, and the man was very grateful. He's very rich. So he said, "What can I do for you?" He said, "You can build a temple." So he built a huge temple there, Madan Gopal Mohan Temple. Still there in Vrindavan, you see. Anyway, many stories. Touchstone story. on this day, it is disappearance day. This is Guru Purnima, and the local custom, they worship the Guru in India on this day. But we have a Vyas Puja, but they on that birthday, but they do the worship the Guru on one day a year. This is Guru Purnima. So on this day also the Brijbasis used to do the Govardhan Parikram. And they would very special, lots of people still go. So Sanatan Goswami, he was their leader, he was like their father in Vrindavan. Everyone loved Sanatan Goswami. They would ask him all their little problems, you know, domestic problems. The Brijbasis loved him. I guess because he was a minister, you know, so he was very expert at resolving things and as well as being a great saint. So they were waiting, and he didn't come. Then Srila Rupa Goswami went to his Kuti, and then found he left his body. And the whole of Vrindavan, all of Brijbasis men, they all shaved their heads. The whole of Vrindavan shaved their heads on the day, because that's what you do when your father leaves. That's the custom. So they respected him as father, shaved their heads. So this is one of our very powerful acharyas in our sampradaya, founders of the, you know, direct disciples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, founders of the Krishna consciousness movement as we see it today. If I pronounce this, it was not in Goswami, beg for his mercy that we may establish our relationship with Krishna in a very firm and living way. Sanatan Goswami ki. Sanatan Goswami Tirupati Mao Sapi ki. Sima Bhagavatana ki. Sri Gopara ki. Dai Gopra Nandi. Hare Krishna.